Vibe tribes. Welcome back, people, to another episode of Vibes and Tribes. And today we're joined by another podcast host, yo. So yeah, Dom, I don't know if you want to quickly introduce yourself to the listeners.
What are you saying? You ready to talk, yeah?
Yeah, ready, ready.
Let's do it, man.
I think we're gonna have to do a poll. People are gonna have to comment. What was better, vibes, or yeah? So yeah, we'll put the poll up and see what people think. But yeah, let's get into it, Dom, man.
Let's do it, man.
If you've been a previous listener, guys, please like, subscribe, comment, show love. We're trying to do a thing here, people.
Support it up.
Thank you, Dom. And with that, let's get into it. So, like I ask all my guests, icebreaker, you go on holiday. What's the first thing you're packing, Dom?
The first thing I'm packing, do you know what? I'm making sure that I've got like my toiletries and that, so I'm making sure I got my creams. I can't like be going on the beach with all like, dry skin and that.
Yeah.
Making sure I got like my creams, my brushes. Like I put like a oil on my face.
Okay.
Like, morning, so like all of that kind of stuff.
What cream are you using to moisturize?
I use Queen Helens.
Okay. Sounds bougie.
Queen Helens, what's it called? Cocoa butter.
Okay, Queen Helens cocoa butter.
But also, guy that I had on the podcast, Josh Parker, his name is, he does his own kind of like something called body butter.
Okay.
BODI. And he also has something called face food.
Okay.
Which is what the oil thing that I'm putting on my face.
And it's bad. Yeah, you're looking on fleeky. But with that, so before we get the story, so what's your current job title?
My current job title is compensation analyst.
Compensation analyst. And alongside that, you've got your own podcast show, Detailed on Mike.
Detailed on Mike.
But before we get into, you know, the compensation analyst and the podcast, let's go way back, as we always do. So starting in secondary school, went to the same one.
Yes, sir.
Shout out Chadwell.
Come on.
what was secondary school like for you, bro?
Yeah, so secondary school is really interesting. Obviously, the way that we know each other is through my older brother.
Yeah.
On the podcast. And yeah, it was very interesting because my older brother was a young, aspiring, talented footballer.
Very true.
And so he's 5 years my senior. So as I'm entering the school, he's leaving the school.
Mm.
And so everyone knows my brother because he's the guy that plays at West Ham. And
yeah.
He's very tall and noticeable. And so kind of coming into year seven, I knew kids who were in your years.
Year 12 at the time.
So, you know, people around the school are seeing me bantering with the year 12s or whatever, as a year seven kid, or people who are 3 or 4 years older than me know who I am because, oh, that's Connor's little brother.
Yeah. And you look alike. Let's not forget that.
Definitely look alike. And so, you know, for at least the first year, it was interesting because teachers were expecting me to be exactly like Connor.
Mm.
Teachers are calling me Connor.
Oh, like, that's crazy.
All this crazy stuff. Even up until like year nine, one of my teachers called me Connor one time. I was like, bro, you left 3 years ago. Yeah. What?
Yeah.
So, it was very interesting to kind of like find my feet and stuff through school, just trying to be my own person.
Because
I would say, at that time, I was a very good footballer myself.
Mm.
Wasn't playing for an academy, though, at the time. And so I'm kind of in the shadow of my older brother, who's this young, aspiring footballer at the time. So, yeah, it was kind of just me finding my feet in secondary school.
Yeah.
Do you think
Connor being your older brother, did it make secondary school easier or harder? Easy and hard in different ways.
Yeah, so harder because everyone's expecting me to be as good at football as he is.
Yeah.
And he's also fortunately really smart.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
So they want me to smash it on the books but also be amazing on the pitch. And so for me, I just saw that as a challenge, right? To like kind of set those, meet those expectations, set those standards. But it also made it easier, right? Like no one troubled me at all. Like I could be really, really, I could be quite cheeky because I knew, okay, this year nine kid, I can be cheeky to him because if anything goes down, I just go to year 11 kid. Oh yeah, you know my brother. I could be cheeky and I could kind of run around and stuff and just express myself as I wanted to. I was never like too naughty or anything like that in school, but
yeah.
I could just express myself and be myself because I kind of had that shield of having an older brother.
Nice. And we'll go straight into like GCSEs. Do you remember what you studied, what you majored at GCSE?
So I did geography, PE and media.
Okay.
Is that right? Yeah, I think so. And then obviously you do all the other stuff. Like
all the standards, yeah.
And are you going to ask me how I did?
if you don't mind, in general.
No, I think I did. I think I remember to the grade. So I did statistics. If anyone remembers, if you're good at maths, you do
further maths or whatever. Yeah.
No, you do statistics in year 9. So you do a GCSE early. Got an A in that. And overall, I think I finished with 2 A stars, 6 A's and a B.
Oh, fantastic.
And the B was actually in media.
Oh, my goodness.
And I got an A or A star in the paper. So the coursework is where I flopped.
That's crazy. All things considered as well.
Yeah, mental.
That's
mental,
a madness.
Mental.
All right. And then that leads us nicely into sixth form.
Yeah.
How many A levels do you do? Do you do 3 or 4?
So the first year I did 4 and then dropped one and then ended up.
Did you drop
3.
One? Yeah, did Did Molly force you to do PE?
No, he didn't force me. he didn't force me to do PE. Okay. I think because that was my other A star.
Okay.
So I got 2 A stars. I got A star in maths and A star in PE.
Oh,
so I carried those 2 on. I was like, yeah, that makes
come
sense.
Come on. Yeah.
And did economics and did geography.
Yeah, okay.
And then my AS, I got an A in PE and 3 B's.
Mm-hmm.
And then I dropped, funnily enough, economics,
mm-hmm.
which is what I ended up studying in uni, and we'll get there.
Yeah.
But I dropped it because the teachers were changing.
Oh, okay.
And I remember I've got this memory of this teacher. I'm not going to name her name. I don't know if she still works there. But the induction day for sixth form, you have like a trial lesson, right?
Yeah.
So we have this trial lesson and I'm wearing a NAC tracksuit. And she goes, she's like, makes some snark comment about like wearing Nike apparel and how like it's bad for the environment or something, and then looks at me and goes, oh, sorry. And then just from there, like, you can just tell this is the kind of person she is.
So energy
just,
off.
Yeah, off. And yeah, she was going to be the teacher for the second year. I was like, no, I'm if.
Okay.
So and that was actually the thing I did the second best in. So
yeah,
that had the highest B in economics, but I dropped it because I only needed maths to do economics at uni. And I was like, that's what I wanted to do.
And actually, ask it now. Did you know that you always wanted to do economics at uni? Did you know that in like your first year, or was that a second year decision?
So probably somewhere in the second half of the first year, I thought economics because like I was interested in like business, finance. I was interested. It kind of tied into some of the geography subjects that we were touching on at A-level and stuff.
Yeah.
And also it was broad enough that I didn't have to specialize specifically in something.
Yeah.
And I could go into the kind of finance business realm afterwards.
Okay, nice. And how was the sixth form experience for you? Because now surely Connor's out of everyone's mind.
Yeah.
You're the big dog in the school. I think you've got a little brother who might have started at the school.
No,
now
so he because we moved to Wanstead when I was in year 8.
Okay.
He ended up going to Wanstead.
Oh, he went Wanstead. Oh, okay.
So he didn't even come through the school. Sixth form experience was good because actually most of my friends that I came into secondary school with even stayed at the university. My only close friend that left is Malachi, who you
okay
know.
Yeah.
Everybody else stayed, and so we had that same cohort all the way through into sixth form. So like George and Donique and Dave and the guys that you know, they were all in sixth form. So sixth form was a good experience for me. It was long though, because at the time I was playing for a team out in Shrewsbury Ness.
Oh my
called
god,
Great Wakering. So I'm playing for them, so I'm traveling there 2 or 3 times a week. In my second year of sixth form, I'm playing for Concord Rangers, Ben Fleet, so far Essex as well.
This is crazy.
So I'm doing that while doing my studies.
That's
and
passion.
That. Yeah. So that was long, getting home at like 10, 11 o'clock some nights and what have you, having to take your big bag to school every day. But sixth form overall was a really good experience. And obviously my second year, I ended up finishing my A-levels with an A and 2 C's.
So oh,
from A and 3 B's to an A and 2 C's.
Mazza.
Scraped as well. Scraped wow. An A and 2 C's.
And do you think that's the like, late nights in the football that's contributed to that?
So it's pretty much just me bobbing it off, if I'm being honest.
Wow, okay.
So I decided in between my first and second year that I wanted to go to America.
Yeah.
And they weren't going to take my A-level grades into consideration. They were only going to take into consideration my GCSEs.
Really?
So I said, yeah, cool. So I'm like, going to link girls in sixth form and periods. Like, I'm still trying, but I'm not going as hard as I should go.
Why aren't they taking your A-levels into account?
Because they don't really do this. Like, it's not similar to the UK system in like the UCAS and stuff. So there's an entry exam that you need to take called the SAT.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
they're taking that into consideration, and they're taking your high school like grade point.
Yeah, yeah, okay. So,
because obviously high school in America is a little bit different to high school.
Yeah.
They see A-level as kind of like a further education.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Used some of my A-level grades to get college credits, university credits.
Okay, cool, cool, cool. This is really interesting because I know there are going to be people thinking about the American dream.
Yeah.
So what age was it that you made the decision, just to be clear?
17.
So at 17 you make this decision and by 18 you've gone?
Yeah.
So when do you do that SAT exam and like what's the process you have to go through?
I think I prepared for it towards the end of my first year, over that summer into the second year.
And you prepared for that one, right?
Unlike all the other exams. Okay. It was, I'm not going to lie, it was easier than the stuff that I was doing at A-levels. If I'm being real, it was easier. Because think about it, this is something that you do as an American student just after you finish.
Like GCSEs equivalent.
Yeah, kind of. There was obviously some harder stuff.
Mm.
But, you know, generally speaking, it was probably in between GCSE and AS level work that I'd already done. So yeah, prepared for that, done that exam, got the score I needed to get. Basically, they were like, yeah, get this and you can get like academic scholarships and stuff.
Mm.
So done what I needed to do there. And then by this point, so by probably October of my second year, so just at the beginning, I'm already getting contact from coaches. I'm already, you know, I've like signed my letter of intent by like February of my second year. So like,
how many options did you have?
I probably got emailed by like 50, 60 schools.
Oh my God. And are these all on scholarship or?
Yeah, for the most part.
And is it academic or sport or a mixture?
So the 50, 60 schools, this sounds like I'm boasting. The 50, 60 schools is of varying levels of.
Like JUCO, junior college, all
varying levels. So like junior colleges, small division three schools, small division two schools, and like maybe 2, 3, 4 division one schools.
Okay.
And there's another athletic body. So there's the NCAA, there's also the NAIA.
Okay.
So teams that play in that too. So it's
nobody knows. Please, did you go NCAA, please?
Yeah, okay.
Because nobody knows NAIA.
NAIA is actually decent, I'm telling you. There's some decent players. Let me take that back.
Okay, sorry, go on.
There's some decent players. It's just a little less regulated than NCAA. That's the only difference.
But okay.
There's still some good teams in there.
All right. And who'd you end up going with then?
Yeah, so got reached out to a few schools and, you know, a school that kind of aligned with what I was looking for in terms of degree. So had economics, a good soccer program. So ended up going to a small school called West Virginia Wesleyan.
Okay.
Where I spent 4 wonderful years in the mountains in West Virginia. I ended up getting like an athletic scholarship. So money for my footballing ability, as well as an academic scholarship for.
Are you got to eat off both?
Yeah.
Hey, come on.
It was all right. So it ended up basically being, you know, like a, I think if you work it out, it was like a 92-93% scholarship. So
okay.
My parents helped me cover the rest, thankfully.
Yeah.
Ended up going to university to do that.
Okay, so oh my God, I've got so many questions here. This is really exciting. So first thing, like how expensive is American school for anybody thinking about doing it?
So it varies massively from 15,000 a year at your cheapest to 60,000-70,000 maybe 80,000 at your most.
Did that factor into your decision how much it cost?
No. Factored into my decision is how much money I was getting.
Okay.
So if it costed 90 racks and I was getting 90 racks.
Yeah, right?
Out of pocket expense is zero.
Yeah.
So basically what mattered is the difference between what they were offering me in scholarship and how much it cost.
Okay. And were you left with, I mean, I know you said your parents helped subside you, but did you have money to live off? Like, did you need a job while she was out there?
Yeah, so I did, just to have my own money. Like, I know my parents work extremely hard and, you know, they would provide for me whatever I need. But at the same time, I didn't want to have that strain of, you know, I'm asking you to pay my tuition fees.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't a substantial amount, but
it's something. Of course.
And so, you know, I didn't feel comfortable asking, oh, I want to go cinema. I want to take Gal cinema. Can I have $50 to take Gal?
Yeah.
So obviously, I've done a variety of jobs. My first job was English as a second language tutor.
Love that.
So we have a lot of Japanese students at the college. So I was helping them with that. I was cleaning like laboratory stuff.
Okay.
After that. And then what else did I've ever done? I've done like coaching summer camps. I've done.
Did they tax you? Because, you know, as like a UK person, you don't get taxed as a student. Was it different in America?
So. I think I did get taxed.
What a bump.
Yeah, I was getting bumped, man.
I hate that.
So
next question I had was, okay, so what division were West Virginia?
So they're Division 2 school.
Okay, D2 school.
Yeah, so right. I think the big difference, and I don't know if it's changed more now since I've left, but the big thing about soccer in America is not one of the major sports, right? You've got American football, you've got basketball, you've got baseball. And so soccer being as small as it is, there's actually a lot of really good teams in every division.
Okay.
Division 1, Division 2, Division 3. An example of that is my friend Matt Bentley, who has been on my podcast. If you haven't listened, go check that out. he played at my school for 3 seasons, ended up transferring to a Division 1 school, Missouri State. Ended up going there, being their top goal scorer, was in like the top 10 players in the country, first team All-American, ended up getting drafted by Minnesota United.
Oh, is it?
And he played in the same team as me.
Oh,
so
wow.
That he's a very good player. Like, he could have played Division 1 school all 4 years. Mm. But that's just to say, that to equate the levels.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
He probably saying his own admission, he probably wasn't the best player in Division 2. He was up there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he probably wasn't the best player in Division 2. And he's gone on to do that, right?
Mm.
So the standard in Division 2 is really good and actually better than I thought it was going to be.
Okay. And yeah, to talk, just a quick segue off, like, soccer in America.
Yeah.
Is it grassroots? Like, what is it like? What is the standard?
It's good.
Is everyone just fit? That's that's my understanding. Yeah. Everyone could just run for days.
Nah, like, yeah, fitness is a big component.
I think. Yeah.
Americans in general are big on their like strength, conditioning, fitness. So yeah, a lot. You had to be very fit and athletic, I think.
Mm.
A lot of quick players.
Mm.
But the standard was good. A lot of like AstroTurf pitches.
Oh.
A bit different.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like, you know, you're playing in August, September, where it's like baking hot, playing on turf pitches. But no, it was good. It was good standard. And like I say, it was a lot better.
Were you playing in front of crowds?
Yeah, at my university, a decent amount. Depends on the night, depends what other athletics is on.
Mm.
Depends if it's a Wednesday. So Wednesday was like the night that people go out.
Mm.
People might actually come to our game if it's not too cold, have a couple of drinks and then go out after that on the student night. So yeah, like probably the most I played against was probably my conference final.
Mm.
And that was probably, I would say maybe 200, 300 people. That's so not loads, but decent.
Did you win that conference final?
We did.
Come on. So you got a little trophy, you got a little dub.
Yeah, I've actually got a ring. We got that ourselves.
Okay.
As a college, but we've actually got a ring to like commemorate it because we beat.
Those rings cost like $400 or $500, by the way.
Yeah,
it's not cheap.
No, I think we pay, I want to say like $250 for
us. Okay, but
yeah, it's not cheap.
$250 for a ring you're never gonna wear.
No, but it's to commemorate like the championship.
Achievement.
And
yeah,
also
yeah.
It was a big achievement for us because we actually beat the number one team in the country. So the number one team in the country played in our conference.
Oh wow.
The University of Charleston.
Mm.
Who Daniel Smee, who's also been on my podcast, but he's a friend of mine. He coaches there now, he's the head coach, and he's actually won a national title, so big him up. But that year they were the number one team in the country. They lost only one game
to you guys.
To us.
What was the score?
2-1. We won in overtime.
Overtime.
Yeah, no, so like
extra time is called overtime.
No, because it's if you score and goal.
Oh, okay, goal.
So
oh, that's
score,
deep.
If you score and if you score, it's over.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So yeah, we ended up winning that, but they ended up at the end of that season winning the national title.
Oh, okay.
So it was a really big achievement for us to beat the number one team in the country. And we played them again in the nationals, literally the next game, and lost 1-0, unfortunately.
Oh, so that just shows you like the standard, like it goes back to what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
All right, let's shelve the sports. Let's talk a little bit about the academics of just American life, because I know that I dreamt about going to uni in America. So what did you say? You said economics, right?
Economics. Yeah.
And am I right in thinking like you major in economics, but then you can like minor in pretty much anything that you want?
Yeah, pretty much. But how it works at So there's two types of schools. There's a liberal arts college, and I can't remember the name of the other one.
Mm.
But in a liberal arts college, they're basically trying to make you a rounded individual.
Okay.
And so you will partake in a number of like general education classes, they call
okay.
it, which are required. So you might have like a mathematics class, a science class, a geography class, a music class, an art class, all of these things, the history classes, etc.
Mm.
But then you've got your major courses that you have to take, intro to economics, econometrics, statistics, etc., towards your degree.
Mm.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So that's how it works. My college was very small. It's probably about 2,000 students.
Yeah.
And so each class was probably about 20 kids.
Okay.
30 kids at a
max. Oh, wow.
So kind of
so everyone knew each other?
Yeah, yeah.
Were you the only person from the UK?
Nah, so my team was flooded with guys
oh,
from the UK.
So I was about to say, so you weren't special?
I mean, I don't think many people that I went to uni with had understood. Actually, no, I shouldn't say that. Let me say it. A few people that I went to uni with didn't realise that there were black people from England.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
So that was an interesting experience for them.
What, they thought they were all from America?
Like Harry Potter and that, innit?
Oh, my God.
That's what they think.
There's even a black guy in it.
Yeah.
Let's not even get into that.
But yeah, crazy. Like some of them didn't realise. Like literally, my freshman year, which is your first year, I remember being in the hall, one of the football players has gone, oh, man, I didn't even know they had black people over there.
What a sheltered existence.
You just have to laugh, innit?
Like, that, he's so obviously dumb. Never travelled out of America.
You just have to laugh because it's mad. Like, but at the same time, you know, black people don't make up that much of the percentage of the UK. In London, obviously.
Yeah.
Anyway, we digress. American Life was good. Like, you'd get the kind of, you'd say something in class, the first day of class. So, like, in fact, it's very different to how my friends see university. So, like, you sit down in the class, you're doing icebreakers.
Yeah.
Did you ever do an icebreaker in university for lecture halls?
Not in lecture halls, no.
But maybe, like, in your, what do they call it, where you have, like,
science. The little classes, like, the little...
Something studying.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, they're doing icebreakers and, like, oh, where? What's your name, where are you from? So obviously that's a gold mine. I'm gonna say Dominic, and I'm from London. It was like, oh my god, like everyone's looking around and blah blah blah. You know, they love the British accent out there.
Yeah.
But I was in West Virginia, which is an interesting place. It's very mountainous. It's very poor.
Oh, is it?
Poor state.
Okay.
There's a lot of like in the state as general, like a lot of problems with like opioids and stuff.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's an interesting place. I loved it though. It was like very hospitable. I always tell the story of the first week I was there in preseason. I'm just walking around the town, and there's a woman on the phone, and she's like walking on the phone, and she goes, "Hold on," like whoever she's talking to, and says, "Good morning, guys." And I was like, where am I? Yeah. I'm used to people being head down, like being here, hustle and bustle, barging into me on the train, all this stuff. Like, no one really cares.
I thought you were going to say she wasn't on the phone, she on crack. No, but just a nice person.
Nice. Everyone was super hospitable. Like, my friends that were my teammates who are American, obviously they have Thanksgiving break, which isn't a thing here. And they're like, you know, inviting me back to spend that with their family. Like, Thanksgiving's probably just below Christmas.
Yeah.
American. So, you know, it's a big deal for them. Everyone's getting together as a family. And for them to invite me into their home, you know, look after me for that week was lovely.
Yeah, sick. Mate, this I'm just gassed. And like, what was going out like? Because obviously they got the 21, they got the 21 limit. Yeah. But what is it? Just housework? Like, did you pledge a fraternity? Like, was there a fraternity at your uni?
There was.
Why didn't you? Just not your bag.
Not my bag. Like, the stuff that you have to do to get into this.
Stupid, isn't it?
Yeah, they're just doing like bare things. Yeah, it's dumb.
Were you friends with people in fraternity?
Yeah. Like, the fraternity mum were cool. Like, they had a few boys in the team that were part of fraternities and whatnot, but it just weren't really for me. Nothing against them, but it just weren't really for me. And for me, I feel like a lot of people join fraternities because the links that will bring them after university.
Yeah.
Also, like, the friendship and brotherhood.
Mm.
But I already had, like, a brotherhood with my team, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Being part of West Virginia Wesleyan Soccer, to me, is like being part of a fraternity.
Yeah, come on.
Because it's like, you know, you have the network of people who played for the team that you can reach out to once you graduate and all these things. Mm. So, weren't really for me. But the drinking thing, so you just ask older boys, oh, yeah, can you go to the liquor store and get me X, Y, and Z? And, yeah, pretty much house parties or frat parties.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, some bars you can get into if you're under 8 and all these kind of things.
Okay, right? There's enough to keep you ticking over.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I just had a fantastic question and it's gonna skip my mind.
It happens.
This is so annoying. But yeah, just continuing about the American experience. So, oh no, have to touch on it.
Yeah.
Safety. Being a black man, you know, like you said, you mentioned the fact that they didn't think that there was black people in the UK. So this must mean like the American police officers must assume you're American, so it must be on site. Like, nah. So,
as soon as you get around the police, you enunciate and you speak very loudly. But no, generally speaking, I have to say, my experience with the police in America was absolutely fine.
Okay.
Like, no problem. Didn't really have any racist issues when I was in America, thankfully.
Yeah.
But I do think it's because I'm British.
Yeah.
So I would say I feel like
they treat you like almost like you're not black, right? Because exactly. I've been to America many times. It's a weird concept. Yeah. People don't
you're
get
British
it.
First. Before
yeah.
You're black, whereas in the UK it's the other way around.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting. One interesting experience I did have though, I was in Tennessee, which is a southern state.
Yeah.
I was in a place near Johnson City, which is where the University of University of Tennessee there? Maybe. Mm. But anyway, I'm there. I'm visiting a friend and his family's taking me out for breakfast.
Mm.
And we're going to a place called the Hillbilly Grill.
Oh my goodness. Hillbilly Grill.
So we're going to the Hillbilly Grill now and it's like a scene from a movie. We walk in. So my friend's white. His family's all white. We walk in now and literally everyone's talking.
Don't tell me everyone stops.
Flat silence and everyone's like this.
My goodness.
I'm just like, And then they just go back. They go went back to chatting and went back to eating and stuff. But it was the most bizarre thing.
Yeah.
But it, again, no problem. I didn't really feel uncomfortable. Like, no one said anything.
Did you go, sorry, as you were?
Nah, I didn't. Maybe I should have.
Okay, that's great. So you did 4 years there, right?
4 years, man.
So when do you start thinking about life after university or college or whatever they call it? And is your plan to, I know the answer, is your plan to stay in the US? Is it to come back to the UK? And is it harder, easier having the US degree?
So originally I was do my degree and come home.
Okay.
And it was more of a thing of unique selling point. How many people in the London market coming out of university at 22 are going to have studied for 4 years in another country and
play
full-time football? Mm-hmm. Around my, I would say halfway point, so in between my sophomore and junior year, which is your second and third year, I probably said, I stayed for a summer. I was playing like some semi-pro stuff, and I thought I can try and pursue this ball thing. But at this point, Connor's come out of football and is doing university. A lot of my peers have come out of football who thought they were going to be playing football, and I thought, do I really want to put myself through that much uncertainty and stuff? Or do I want to just go off to, do I want to just work? And even at that point, I was still like, you know what? I think I'm probably going to go home. Then it probably got to my junior year. And I think I had a conversation with my mum just around like, yeah, I think after uni, I'm going to come back. And she was like, why don't you just see what's out there? Like, there's a lot of opportunities and stuff. And we had some family like who'd been in and around America and stuff. And she was just like, yeah, like just explore it. So I ended up kind of just applying, seeing what's going on. And yeah, ended up getting an opportunity in my senior year that I took. But, you know, having a US degree helps. But, you know, the biggest thing, barrier to get over is the visa situation.
Yeah.
Getting a work eligibility in the US is very hard. And it's very rich. You'll see, you know, extremely conservative Americans being like, those Mexicans, they keep jumping over the border, like blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And it's like, if they could easily get work eligibility to work in the US, they would. But it's probably going to take them 5 or 10 years and they don't have that time.
Wow.
So they're going to run, they're going to jump over the border. That's what I'm trying to say. I ended up going to a company called Willis Towers Watson as a compensation analyst. Never heard of compensation before, but kind of read the job description and it seemed like something I could do. They were looking for someone with an economics degree, analytical mind, good with data, et cetera, et cetera. And so I actually ended up having 2 interviews, some like online stuff, and they flew me to Washington, D.C. from school.
Wow.
Stayed in a hotel, done the interview, and then flew back to school and then heard a couple of weeks later that I'd got the job.
Sick. So, So is that locked up before the end of your final year?
Yeah. That was probably sorted and like, probably signed my offer letter in like March of the final year.
So. And when September, October?
To start in August.
In August, so literally you finish uni.
Finished uni in May.
Okay, so you had 2 months to enjoy.
Yeah.
What did you do? Did you come home? Did you travel around America?
So I played for...
Wow, the last summer before you go into work. Let me ball out one last time.
Also, I didn't want to leave the country. So I didn't want to come back home because of... Basically, I was waiting for the visa to...
Yeah.
So I didn't want to leave the country and risk like, you know, my visa getting messed up.
Mm.
Stayed and played in West Virginia United under Smee, the coach I was telling you about, is at UC, and had him my pod. Played under him with a few friends from college, and then ended up moving to Washington DC after that to start my work.
Like, and what year is that?
So that's in 2019.
Oh my god! So that means you're a year into that, and then bang, 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 Miss Rona.
Yeah. So moved to Washington DC in August. Loved this great city, by the way.
Great city. That's the capital, isn't it? That's where the White House is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Great city. Lots to do. Good brunch culture. A lot of like diversity. So like a lot of black culture. A lot of like a big Ethiopian community, Nigerian community, and stuff like that. Great city. I talk about it on my podcast. I spent the better part of probably the first 3 months just going out every Friday and Saturday.
Come on.
Every single one. It was a bit ridiculous. Spending a bit too much money.
Yeah.
Drinking a bit too much and putting on a bit too much weight.
But it was a good time nonetheless. Yeah, exactly.
It was a good time nonetheless. Obviously that rolls around now until March. I'm 8 months into my first job. And we're told, oh yeah, guys, this is virus, guys, you're gonna go home. Like this is like a Thursday. I was thinking, yeah, buzzing, work from home Friday. Next week work from home.
And then back.
Lo and behold, 2 years later, and we're still kind of in COVID.
Still battling it.
Yeah.
So, Where does that... So what point do you make the decision to come back to the UK is the first question. So is it your decision? Is it their decision?
Neither of our decisions.
Okay.
We can't get a visa for me to stay.
What, because of Rona?
No, just generally. So it's hard to get a visa. It was harder on top of that because like a lot of the consulates, like the visa consulates were closed and stuff like that. So basically they told me, we can't get you a visa. But as you know, Willis Towers Watson operates in London, so we can send you back to the London office.
Oh, that's good.
Like to do. I had to take a pay cut.
Oh, my goodness.
Because obviously, you know, they get paid a lot more in the US.
Yeah, because of is a higher cost of living as well.
Not really. Just,
not really.
Just get paid more in America.
Man. Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
That's annoying.
As a conversation professional, we can talk more about it later. But yeah. If you can get over there, I would.
Yeah.
But yeah, I took about a 30-40% pay cut. So substantial.
Yeah.
Pay cut. I'm back living at my mum's. Yeah. With the corona. So it wasn't a great time, but yeah, had to come back, worked there, and then yeah, joined the London team, and was doing kind of focusing on executive compensation, so okay. C-suite individuals.
Okay, and supposedly, or you let me know when, so talk to me about the conception of Detailed On Mic. When does that actually start? Is it before this,
after this? Yeah, so the Detailed On Mic journey actually starts in that 3 months where I'm doing a madness in DC.
Okay.
So had a conversation with Connor.
Yeah.
I was just like I'm taking the mic at the moment. Like, I'm just going out all the time, like trying to chirp girls all the time, like not working out, putting on weight, like what am I doing? And I realised probably having a bit of an identity crisis. Been playing football since I was 5 years old. Mm. Just graduated uni. Football's no longer a staple part of my life.
Yeah.
And so I just replaced that with going out all the time.
Yeah, of course.
So
that was the game day.
Yeah.
Suited and booted, let's
exactly,
go.
Exactly. So, and then I end up having a conversation with Connor. I was just like, look, I listen to a lot of podcasts. I like podcasts. I think I'm quite an inquisitive person. I like to ask questions. What do you think about starting a podcast? He was like, cool, like, what's the concept? And I thought, yeah, just like very interview style, but like honest conversations, you know? Because it was annoying me watching the Premier League and stuff. And it's just like, the fans were unbelievable today, boys.
We
couldn't get a victory today, but we're all behind the manager. We'll get in on Monday and train really hard. When really they want to say, flipping, our number nine was crap. And so just having these honest conversations with people in general and my network and Connor's network and then later Abs, my co-host, his network is mainly in football. But I just wanted to touch on things in general, you know, and also talk about kind of championing people who are quote unquote normal people, but have, in my eyes, are very successful. And so that was kind of the concept for Detailed On Mic. And first started recording and then the Christmas I came home of 2019.
Okay.
And then released my first episode in February of 2020.
So how many episodes had you built up by the time you'd released?
6.
Okay, that's smart.
Yeah.
Because even me, I'm always playing catch up at the moment.
Yeah, so I had 6 to go. I just wanted to do it like a taster, see if there was appetite for it. So I got Christian Burgess, who plays in the Belgium
now, isn't it?
Belgium, I don't know. Like, smashing it. Connor, Abs, who was in the first season? Naban, who's an actor. Who was in the first season? Paco, who plays for Miami FC, but at the time was playing for Louisville. Just finished playing for Louisville and moved back to London. And who is the other person? Oh, no.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
I hate that I'm going to forget that. That's so annoying. But yeah.
We'll rectify it in the show notes.
The person I've forgotten, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I've got so many questions. So for those who are aspiring podcasters like myself, how did you start? So for me, I went straight into kind of a semi-productive thing, like paying for a studio. Did you buy equipment straight off the back? Did you rent out a space? How did you record those first few episodes and how much did it cost roughly?
So my friend, shout out my boy Luke, he gave me a Yeti Snowball, it's called.
Okay.
So it's a microphone that looks like this and you just place it on a surface.
Yeah.
So my first podcast, or my first season actually, maybe even my first 2 seasons. My first season for sure. I'm sitting here.
Yeah.
The guest is sitting here next to me. And we're talking into a mic here. And we're trying to have a conversation with each other. So imagine this is the microphone. We're trying to have a conversation here.
Yeah.
But we're speaking to each other.
Yeah.
And that was the first
season. Sounds technical.
So cost was 0.
Okay. Fantastic.
To start with. Because I just had my laptop. I downloaded Audacity to edit the audio, which is free.
Yeah.
And I got a mic for my friends. So free.
Okay.
And I was recording at my brother's.
How was it? How was editing? And was it recorded as in camera?
No.
Okay, so it's just audio.
As audio, yeah.
Jeez.
Well, also, can I just say, if you're just recording video and putting it on YouTube, it's not a podcast. You also need to be putting it on the podcast platforms. If it's just video, it's not a podcast.
Oh, no, but mine is on the podcast platform. I was about to say, he's attacking me on my own podcast.
If you have visual,
yeah,
then that's just the visuals of a podcast.
Yeah.
But there's people out there who are calling themselves a podcast, but just putting the visuals on YouTube.
Don't do Spotify, don't do Apple.
No, that's no audio. That's
what
not
do you
a podcast.
Mean? Exactly. Yeah, that's
but there's people that are doing that.
That's
so
crazy.
If you're doing that,
stop.
Just call it a show. Stop being lazy.
Yeah.
Edit the video so it looks good and put it out and call it whatever you want to call it.
But
if you're not having audio that goes onto these platforms, it's not a podcast.
Yeah, factors.
Just wanted to clarify that.
Mate, happy. Okay, so it was free. You didn't record it.
No.
And yeah, talk to me, like, what was, I suppose for you, your audience is kind of, who was your audience and how did you come up with that?
So I thought sporting fans and people who generally know the guests that we're getting on.
Yeah.
And I just thought they might be interested to take a deep dive into their lives. Like, how many times do you get to have like an audio history of someone's life?
Yeah.
You know? Because like these interviews, you might even see like, you know, Pro Direct or whatever might get someone in and talk about a specific moment in time.
Yeah.
But being able to walk someone through from like age 5 all the way to where they are now and recording all the stories and the trials and tribulations, I thought would just be good. So that was the concept. Done the first season. Luckily, every single person I reached out to said yes.
Yeah.
Which was sick. Done the thing. And the feedback was pretty good. They were like, yeah, it's good. We like listening to it. Obviously, a few things to brush up on. First ever time being an interviewer, so you know, you're a little bit rusty. But overall, feedback was positive.
Yeah.
And so I said, I'll continue.
Okay. Big question for me. Oh my God, why do these questions? Okay, no, it's to do with seasons, right?
Yes.
So for me, if you look at like my episode list, I haven't broken out into seasons.
Yeah.
I think to my detriment.
Right.
Because I'm trying to challenge myself to just release weekly.
Right.
Why do you break up into seasons, and what season are you in now?
So I don't break up into seasons anymore,
okay.
But I did.
Okay.
And the reason I did that is because it was kind of just a
pilot season almost.
It was kind of just a logistics thing. So I was in England for that Christmas.
Yeah.
And just so basically I was like, I can do 6 in this time period.
Yeah.
Then lockdown came and I was doing them virtually on Zoom.
Mm.
And again, I was like, I don't know if I want to do this long term. I wanted in person, which is basically what I only do in person right now.
Yeah, same.
And so I was like, let's see how it goes. I want to put content out. Let's see how the Zoom thing goes. Zoom was okay, but I didn't do any Zoom after that.
Yeah.
And then I think I did a third season. And then I was like, I'll move back to England. So I was like, oh, well, I have access to my whole network now. And so I can do weekly.
Mm.
So at first we started, we wanted to ramp it up and we also wanted to put it on YouTube. So we made quite a few changes all at once. So I moved back to London. Shortly after that, I brought in Abs to be my co-host.
Yeah, talk to me about that. Let's not start that there, because obviously you've now recorded 2 seasons on your own.
Even maybe 3.
Yeah.
Record, but yeah.
Who does Abs reach out to you?
So I reach out to him. So Abs is on the first season.
Yeah.
And his story was, in my opinion, one of the best. Even though they were all great, but he was one of the best, and he's a good storyteller.
We'll link his episode in the show notes.
And just for kind of context as well, he's a very close friend of my brother, so they come up together in West Ham and continue being friends afterwards and played some non-league football together. So you know, he's like a big brother to me. So I kind of was like, I like kind of the podcast and stuff, and I like doing it by myself, but it would be nice to have just a different perspective on things. He's someone that's been in the game, been a professional footballer, has great insight, is still in the game now, still coaches. And so I was like, you know what? I think he might fit, because our personalities, if I'm being honest, are quite different.
Mm.
And so I thought he'd be able to provide a perspective that I couldn't.
Mm.
And he has.
Mm.
And we've produced some really good episodes.
Yeah. I think being a single host, one thing I'm jealous of, I feel like when you've got 2, and even in some cases 3 with Connor, right? Because I feel like he's like an unofficial third.
Yeah, basically.
I feel like you don't even always need a guest, right?
Yeah.
Like, I know how hard it is booking people. In those weeks where you really struggle, you lot can just vibe off each other for an hour.
Definitely.
So there are pros and cons to doing it like yourself, like I do, having a co-host like Dom does. It gives you that little bit more flexibility, right?
Definitely.
So how many episodes have you recorded up until this point?
62.
That's 63. Fantastic, man. That's
in 2 years, it's decent. I would have liked to have been a bit more consistent at times, but it's good. Like, all things considered, you know, we don't get paid off the podcast. You know, everyone has full-time jobs. Everyone's busy. Yeah. Everyone has commitments. Mm. So the fact that we've been able to record 62 is dope. But I would have liked to be maybe around the 70 mark would have been great. But, you know, it's been good. No, it's been really good.
And obviously, when I was starting this podcast, I obviously reached out to you. You were great with giving me advice and things to get up and running. To any, you know, people wanting to start a podcast, what would be like your top piece of advice for them?
Why are you starting a podcast?
Yeah.
Like, why podcast? Is it, and to your point, I was kind of taking the mic earlier, but to your point, is it just a YouTube show? Like, is it a concept where you could actually make it more entertaining and more something else? Or is podcasting what you want to do? Okay, you want to do podcasting. Are you going to be consistent?
That's such a big thing. Man.
My friend sent me a statistic that if you have more than like something ridiculous, like 5 or 10 podcasts, you're in the like 1%.
Top 1%. Yeah. I think it might be, like 98% of people don't make it past 20 episodes or something like that. Is that incredible?
No, I don't even think it's that high.
It might be 10 then.
I think it's 10.
It might be 10.
Because he told me and I was like, surely it can't be that number. But like, to be fair, I've even seen a few that started in lockdown and stayed in lockdown.
Jeez, Vaseline.
I would say if you're going to start it, do something that you enjoy. Because I feel like, you know, podcasting is a very trendy thing at the moment.
Yeah.
There's lots of people online giving their opinion, which is great.
Yeah.
But it's a trendy thing to do right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, when the trend dies, are you still going to want to make content?
That's it, man.
Like, I love asking questions. Anyone who knows me knows, even when these mics are turned off, I'm probably going to be asking this guy questions
and being very
inquisitive. So, you know, what value are you going to add to other people? Like, why do you want to share this? Like, a lot of people are like, these are the conversations we have with the mandem and we just want to record it.
It's not enough.
But like, sometimes just having a conversation with the mandem is enough. Like, other people don't want to hear that. Yeah. Do other people want to hear it?
No.
So that would be and I feel like I've talked about a lot of the negatives, but a lot of the positives you can get from podcasting is maybe you move to a new city, right? The kind of premise of this is like travel. A lot of stuff started with travel. Maybe you move to a new city and it could be a way for you to meet new people. You can network. Like, I've built my network massively and I got a shout out Abs on this. His network is very strong and we've been able to bring on some amazing guests through his network that have now become people that like I speak to or have on social media or just in general I've learned from. So like I had Scorcher on my podcast.
Crazy.
He's like a legend in this country when it comes to rap music. And you know, he was able to come on our platform, sit in Connor's living room and talk his stuff. So that was a big moment for me, man.
Yeah.
A
really big moment. So on that, and this is, I'm about to get my phone and take notes.
Yes.
Like, you're 62 episodes deep.
Yes.
You've obviously got big networks.
Yeah.
I know I've asked you this before. How do you get guests? Are they all people from your network or are you reaching out to people that you don't know? And what is, if they are, what's your plan moving forward?
Right. So every single one of my podcast is either someone I know, Abs knows, or Connor knows.
Okay.
Apart from one.
Okay.
The one person is a guy called SP, who runs a channel called Delinquent Nation.
Is that the prison one?
Yes.
Oh my goodness. So he's what an episode.
So he's person that none of us knew. And I reached out to him. I DM'd him because I watch his stuff on YouTube.
Yeah.
I reached out to him and I was like, yo, man, I've got a podcast. I think at the time it had maybe like 500, 600 subscribers, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I just reached out to him. I was like, yo, I love your content. Would you be interested in coming on the pod?
Mm.
He said, I'm not doing any podcast right now. I was like, fair enough, because he actually wasn't. Like, I looked on YouTube and stuff and he wasn't on any other platform.
Yeah.
I was like, fair. And then maybe a couple of months later, I started to see that he would have been on one or two other podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
So he actually reached out to me.
Okay.
And he was like, yo, if you still want to do a podcast, I'll come
I'm
down.
I'm about now.
And his channel's way bigger than mine.
He has,
at the time, maybe 20,000 subscribers.
Oh, wow.
I don't know what he has now.
Yeah.
And he comes down to the pod and he's like, listen, I'm not going to lie to you. I listened to like half an hour of your pod on the way here. It sounds all right. I don't know anything about you boys. But the reason I came down is because when I was on the come up, no one wanted to come on my platform. So I thought it'd be good to like
show some
support to a smaller platform. Because he'd been asked
That's
to
so
be on,
massive.
He'd been asked to be on all the big platforms.
Yeah.
Like, probably like the link up to GRMC, Tommy, James English.
Name sounds familiar, but I don't know
who he is. Does that prison podcast as well. Okay. So I think he'd maybe even reached out, but he didn't want to go on a bigger platform. He wanted to help out the smaller platform. So I've got to salute him for that.
Mm.
But yeah, he's the only person. Yeah, that was just me reaching out, saying, showing love. But to your point, it will get to a point where we have to cold reach out, and it's actually something we've talked about as a team.
Mm.
But because we've been able to cast and exhaust our current network, we probably can reach out to guests through the guests that we've already had.
And also you've got like, you've got 60 episodes, right? Yeah. You've got our catalogue. So it's not even like, it's that small now.
Yeah. And that's the other thing. We've been really blessed in that some of the blogs have reposted us and stuff. So, you know, it's a recognizable-ish name. Like, even if you don't know the name of our podcast or who we are, you might have seen Scorcher on it, or you might have seen Terminator on it, or you might have seen Frank Newbell on it, or you might have seen whoever the person is, right? Donnie. Mm. And so the fact that we have that... And the fact that, you know, a few of the blogs have posted up, like 360 TV have posted us maybe 4 or 5 times. They've got 100,000 followers on Instagram.
Yeah.
So, you know, people have seen our faces, seen our conversations, which is good. So, again, all of these things will make things easier as we scale and try and reach out to more guests.
Okay. So... I didn't realise that you knew pretty much everyone that you've reached out to.
Fortunately,
because it's something that I think about, and sometimes I think about messaging people, and I'm just like, I get a bit scared, you know?
They're going to air you. So, but like, if you message 10 people...
You've got to be prepared to...
3 or 4 of them are probably going to air you completely.
Exactly.
Another few are probably going to say no.
Yeah.
But someone might say
yes.
But if you don't ask, you're never going to get them, are you?
That's true. So, to anyone listening to this, just don't be afraid to ask. And even me, like, I need to put it into practice.
Yeah.
I've already got, you know, some people who I've reached out to and, you know, we're in some conversations. But it is something you need to think about, right? Because it's all about sustainability and that the power of compounding. So, you know, with that, I think you've got 1,000 subscribers on YouTube.
Yeah.
Well, way like, over now.
I think it's like 1.2, I want to say.
1.2?
Yeah, 1,200.
Okay. I mean, you know, we'll assume that you've got at least that or more on Spotify, Apple.
Yeah.
For you, is there... a clear idea on how to grow that, or is it just like be organic, be yourself?
Yeah, I think we could actually, and I'm glad you raised this, I think that's actually something we could be better at, you know, like being a bit more strategic with our social media stuff. But at the same time, I'm like, I'm caught in two minds between like letting it grow organically, because we haven't really done anything to get it to this point.
Mm.
And it already takes up a lot of our time.
Yeah, of course.
And so do we want to dedicate a lot of time to helping it grow and, you know, implement it, whether it's ads or whatever it is to really...
Surely the goal is monetize at some point. If you want to...
So we already monetize on YouTube.
Okay, then.
1,000 subscribers gets you to be able to monetize on YouTube.
Okay. Gets you the nut in peanuts.
Yeah, exactly. But I think, maybe it's something to look at and review. But at the same time, like... I just see Detailed on Mac as a platform that people come. So like we've had sponsors reach out to us, or a sponsor I should say, reach out to us about, you know, putting branding on the podcast and stuff like that. But again, and we kind of didn't touch on this, I didn't mention it, but the podcast is recorded where I live.
Mm.
I have my own equipment.
Mm.
I've got my own microphones. I do my own editing. Me personally, but my brother, my little brother, Matt Sasha, does the editing. And so... there's no real need from a financial standpoint. I'm doing well in my job.
To just accept any...
I've worked really hard on this podcast, And so just anyone like throwing a little bit of money at me, and they were like, we'll give you some of our products and see how it goes, and then maybe we can like monetize. So for me to give 60 episodes of Blood, Sweat and Tears for some products didn't really fly with me.
I can tell you're mad. Better.
So ultimately, if a really good brand wants to work with us, that would be good.
Mm.
I've also thought about maybe, you know, other people reaching out, whether it be brands or other channels, and bring me on to interview, or bring me and Abs on as a duo to interview, or the three of us, or whatever it is, to like have conversations. So like something like Chucky Online, he has the HC podcast. He like does stuff with the NFL, does stuff with Vice. So I've thought about stuff like that, you know.
That's
cool. I develop my skills as an interviewer, being able to, you know, be put in places where I can maybe interview famous rappers or singers that I don't know, or whoever, you know.
We in competition.
That would be cool. That would be cool.
Yeah. And going back, because you did touch on the fact that we haven't really touched on it. So when you started, it was all free.
Yeah.
I know that there's been a bit of an upgrade
definitely.
What kind of products are you using now, and why did you change? Like, why was that Yeti mic no longer good enough?
I would listen back to the podcast and it just wasn't as clear as I wanted it to be, you know? But you have to scale these things, right?
Of course.
You don't know.
Mm.
So we bought 3 microphones.
Where from?
We bought...
I'm not linking these, by the way, because I'm not giving Amazon no peas.
No.
So just
that's
listen.
I took the branding off of this. I hate giving people free promo. I hate it. It's called Audio Technica AT 2020.
Yeah.
Bought 3 of those microphones.
Yeah.
I bought the Rode arms, they're called. They're basically like things that you clip onto the table.
They're about 100 quid. Yeah.
And then I bought a camera, Canon, I can't remember. I looked it up. Some mirrorless Canon.
Mm-hmm.
Abs had another camcorder, so we used that as a second camera.
Okay, so you got 2.
Yeah.
Okay.
2 cameras. But I think we started with 1.
Just one take.
I think we started with 1.
I've got 3.
Yeah. And then I think we started with 1. And then we ended up having 2. And then we bought lights as well. But the most important bit of kit that we bought was the Rodecaster, which is basically like a...
The mixer
that you use, but you can just record podcasts straight onto it.
Okay.
So you don't need to be like plugged into your computer or anything.
Okay.
All you need is the Rodecaster, plug the mics in, you're good to go.
Okay.
So all of that kit, all in all, probably come to like, I don't know, 800 quid, a grand, something like that.
Okay.
But it was investment to me to say, I've got my own equipment and I'm going to record in my own space. So I can record when I want.
And that gives you flexibility, right?
When I want,
crazy.
For how long I want.
Yeah.
Guests can be late, it's fine. Guests can reschedule last minute, it's fine.
Mm.
I can change the date last minute, fine. I'm going to pay for the space.
Mm.
And obviously, at the times that people want to record, there's a lot of competition in London for podcast spaces, as you will know.
Yeah, I'm only too familiar. Yeah.
So, you know, just being able to record on short notice, being able to record as long as I want, when I want, was just something that I was interested in.
And just on that note, so I'm on about episode 14 or 15, and I'm just getting to a stage where I've spent more than Dom, who's at episode 60. So now every episode after, it's just another cost. But shout out Vauxhall Studio, because I love this place, and the setup is nice.
Setup's dope, man. Setup's dope.
So yeah, as long as you're not booking in my slots, people, please come true. Shout out Mooch and the team. Come use this place. Shout out Lucas, who's on the decks today. Oh my God, this has been an amazing episode, both from, you know, the academic aspect, going to America, standing out, through to the podcast. I suppose just a few more questions before we wrap up.
Sure.
What's next?
What's next for me? Ooh. I guess we didn't get there, but I'm currently working at Meta or Facebook for me.
He's one of the zooks.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. I heard a boo there.
I'm helping build the metaverse and all that stuff.
That's wild.
Yeah, so working there at the moment.
How good are the benefits? Today. People dream.
Mate, let me just describe for the office week.
Okay.
So we've
I'm
got
closing
about,
my eyes.
Got about 8, 9, 10 floors.
Mm.
You walk in, obviously you tap your badge. As you come in, there's a barista serving coffee on your right-hand side.
Fantastic.
You go up one flight of stairs, which is the level that I'm on. You've got a micro kitchen.
Mm.
In this micro kitchen, you've got coffee machine.
Mm.
You've got all the kind of teas that you'd want. All the kind of hot chocolate.
Chamomile, peppermint,
whatever you
yellow.
Like. You've got cereal on the side that you can just take at will. In the
constantly
fridge.
Talked.
Yeah. Skittles, Tang Fastics. Healthy snacks. Then you've got like a fridge full of like Cokes, Fantas, Ratbinas, apple juices. Then you've got vending machines for equipment. If you need a phone charger, tap your badge, take your phone charger. You need headphones, tap your badge, get headphones. You need a HDMI cable, you need a charger, you need cases for your phone, whatever it is, tap and off you go. And then not to talk about the canteen, which
is
free food. There is a workout space.
Okay.
It's like a fully fledged gym, but your gym's expense, so no worries there. You got the kitchen downstairs, so like the canteen, which is like free food, and what did I have yesterday? I think I had like basmati rice with some sort of like lamb stew and
unlimited as well. They're not rationing you.
Nah, cauliflower, potatoes, like, you know, we've got full time chefs.
Do you eat lunch and dinner like on the sly? Just have
so you can't. At the moment, because of COVID and stuff, they're not serving dinner, but usually it's breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
So it's like whatever peas they're giving you, you're making another 5 to 10 bags in food.
Basically, yeah, like it's crazy. Like I was in America not too long ago in Austin, and in the office there's a laundry floor. So you
they do your washing.
Yeah, man, it's crazy.
Do you know what, Mark? I know there's people out there that don't even like you, but look, this is big. And I know they're hiring because they're investing like $10 billion in the metaverse over the next year. Yeah. So they've got like 10,000 people that they're trying to hire for. So
directly impacts my team because obviously as a compensation analyst, we're setting the rates and making sure that people are hired equitably and all of this kind of stuff. So yeah, like a lot of work in the pipeline. But what's next for me? To roundabout way of getting to what's next for me. Just keep building detail on Mike.
Do the people at Meta know that you do the podcast?
Nah.
Okay. They might know now.
They might. I've kind of kept it on the low because, you know, I feel like some of my opinions might perhaps not go down well with some people. I don't really care. Yeah. If they discover it, they discover it, but I don't really want to advertise it too much.
They probably wouldn't
watch anyway.
But
possibly thinking about a move back to the States.
Okay.
But yeah, building detailed on Mike, just you know, trying to build a metaverse with Mark and them, man.
Yeah.
and a potential move back to the States. Yeah,
mate. It sounds like there's a lot cooking.
Yeah.
So, just one personal one from me. So I've got like a vision board at home now. I started it this year.
Let's go.
And I know what my goals are for podcast. You're at 62. You mentioned you wanted to be at 70. When you look back at the end of this year, how many episodes do you want to have of Detailed on Mike?
So it's 72 now. 62 now.
I'm making him do maths on the board.
No. I want to do release bi-weekly. So I would say if we ended the year with 80 episodes.
Okay.
75 to 80. Yeah. But more so than quantity at the moment, I want to have another really good conversation.
Okay.
I think recently I've had some amazing conversations, and I just feel like, when is it going to go flat?
Yeah.
I feel like I haven't had a flat conversation in forever, which is a testament to the guests that have come on the platform. But, you know, I've had a variety of guests in a variety of fields. Recently just had, I'm going to plug myself a little bit here, an episode with Frank Newble. That episode
is split into
everyone
two.
Should just go and watch it. That's what I'm going to say. Just, if you like football, go and watch the Frank Newble episode.
And spoiler, that episode one was so good. I remember I was on holiday in Barbados. I messaged Dom asking for an early cut of the second episode. He told me no, to wait like the rest of them. I ain't forgiving you for that, by the way.
It weren't ready. That was just me being cool.
That actually leads me to another question. What is your favourite episode been?
Oh, I don't know if I could pick one, man. Like, okay. It's been... All right, personal favourite. From a personal standpoint, having Scorcher, someone who I'm a massive fan of. Like, I'm a huge music fan, rap fan, grime fan. And to have Scorcher, someone who I was banging in my headphones in school and the playground, to have him on my platform was huge for me. Because not only was he... like someone I looked up to for his ability, but coming on the platform and speaking to him, he articulated himself so well. He was funny, he was insightful, he spoke about a variety of topics. And so from a personal standpoint, that was probably my favourite, just because what it meant to me as a fan of his art. But I think the best conversation, I think Frank has come in and just... you know, punched the ceiling off. But I would like to give like honourable mentions to, I had one of my friends, Mohamed Ufal. So he currently plays at Enfield Town and he's got like 38 goals this season. Like flipping league, championship teams are looking at him, League One teams are looking at him. But his story, talking about kind of growing up in East London in Hackney, and then going out to Italy and facing racism and being depressed, to coming back to England and doing a madness with Enfield about 3 seasons ago, getting a professional deal to go into Bolton. So from non-league football to Bolton, huge club, in the middle of COVID, and now coming 360 back to Enfield and doing the same thing again.
Wow.
Was just like an amazing story. Yeah. He spoke with such passion and such emotion that it was proper sick. But yeah, those have been great. Like I could go through the list.
Don't go through the list.
But the episodes were like unbelievable, man.
DL on Mike is fire. Long story short, what's the most listens you've had on an episode?
From a YouTube standpoint or a...
Both. We'll go both for aspiring podcast listeners. So we're 60 episodes in, just so we know where the bar is.
So I want to say it's hard because I feel like it's hard to like some of the podcast numbers. It's hard to go because like you go to Buzzsprout for one number, then you go to Spotify for the other number, then you go
Let's just
Apple
ballpark
for the other
it. Ballpark it.
I want to say between 500 and 1,000 unique listeners on the podcast listens.
Yeah,
I want to say it for an episode, and then on YouTube. I think the most viewed is the Scorcher episode, and I think it's around 30K.
That's amazing. Yeah. Final question before I let you go.
Yes, sir.
Who is your dream guest? Oh. Shout them out now while you got the platform.
Oh, man.
I've bowled him. Tough. I bowled him.
Might be a bit controversial given what the long spiel I've just given, but Rich.
Okay.
Was my like
hey.
favorite artist growing up.
Okay.
People used to say Connor looked like him.
Yeah. Facts.
So like one of my favorites, Rich. But he's not really making that great, if I'm being honest. Please, I hope you don't see this. But at the moment, he's not really making the greatest of music. Mm. Someone I'd be really interested to talk to actually would be Rimzy.
Okay.
So I'm a real big fan of his music at the moment. Mm. Outside of music, just generally someone I'd like to talk to, I feel like, and I don't know if I've seen her speak at length, but Serena Williams.
Oh, okay.
I feel like that would be... Cause like
Serena,
about,
baby.
Because like talking about like her, the role her dad played in her life and like growing up as like a back tennis player in a sport that's very elitist and white, what that would have been like. So yeah, I'm going to go with Serena and Rich.
Dom... We're pretty much out of time. This has been an amazing episode.
Done already.
Thank you for the insights. Look, time flies when you're having fun, right?
For sure, man.
Time flies when you're having fun. Look, people, if you've made it to this point in the show, plug your socials.
Yeah, so I don't even want to plug my personal ones. Just go and follow Detailed on Mac on Instagram and Twitter. You'll find us on YouTube. You'll find us on all the podcast platforms. If you found this interesting, I do more of this pretty much every week or every 2 weeks on my platform. So come on over, come and listen. And yeah, man, come on a journey with me.
That's it. And for my listeners and anyone new, at @vibesandtribes_, please like, please subscribe, please follow, please show love, please support. We're on a journey here together, you know.
Yeah.
These are the two young kings destined for the top.
Yeah, and just before we finish, I just want to say bye, like, thank you for pulling, you know, giving me the shout to pull up and that. Obviously, you came onto my platform and of course I had to return the favour and I'm sure I'll be back sometime in the future.
Definitely.
But yeah, what you're doing here is sick, man. You've got something good. You're a really good interviewer and I'm sure your platform is destined for greatness.
Thank you, man. And with that, guys, over and out. It's been Vibes and Tribes.
Peace.
Yeah, thank you.